Okay, so we are continuing this morning. As Narsa said, if you don't know what Link Up is, you probably missed a few services. You should have received one of these at the door. Some of what I'm going to share this morning will be on that, and it's about helping us to go a little bit deeper in the Word. So this morning I'm going to speak about going deeper in God's Word. Okay. Do you know how much it cost for us to have this, which is called a Bible, in our hands, in our own language? You know, I think sometimes we take things for granted. And if you actually go look at history and we see how much people have paid to get the Word of God in your own language in every person's hand, it's quite amazing. Say about 500 years ago, the average person didn't have a Bible, and they didn't have a Bible in their own language. The Bible was primarily in Latin. Only the priests could read it and understand it, and the rest were clueless. And what did they call that time? The Dark Ages. Yes, it was the Dark Ages, about 1,000 years, Dark Ages, because the people didn't have the Word for themselves. And then the Reformation came, the time of Enlightenment came. What changed? The Bible was translated into the average person's language. And the printing press started, and so they could make copies of it. And now we have, each of us can have a Bible. But it's amazing that we have this wonderful gift, and for many of us, this beautiful thing is a bit of an ornament. Some of us use it to prop up our bed if it's a bit unstable. Some of us put it on the coffee table so that when somebody comes, they can see, ooh, he's got a Bible. And if you're in prison, it's beautiful, then you can hide a little saw on the inside. And you can break out of prison. So you can use it for many different things. It's a very powerful book. But it's more than just an ornament or something on your coffee table. It's amazing. William Tyndale, he was the Englishman. He was the first man to translate the New Testament into English. He was imprisoned for his work for a few years, and on the 6th of October, 1530, in the Netherlands, he was brought to a place of execution. He was tied to a stake. He was strangled by the hangman to the point of death and then burned in fire for doing God's work. The first man who translated the New Testament into English. And it said, as he met the Lord, Tyndale cried with a loud voice, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. Because of the King of England that he was basically killed. And so as he was dying, he just cried out, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. And as he died, he gave his life for the cause. And then 4 years later, that same king authorized the translation of the Bible into English. And it was the first draft of what 100 years later came to be the King James Version of the Bible, which transformed the, I guess, the Western world. But some people gave their life so that you and I can have this amazing book. So the Word of God is living, it's powerful, there's something in it, but it won't benefit you much if you don't get into it yourself. It's amazing how many testimonies there are of people who did not believe in God, did not put their trust, didn't trust in the God of the Bible, and then they just read the Word of God, and as they read it, they came to faith and started to believe. There's something supernatural in it. But are you opening it up? Are you getting into the depths of Scripture? And I think sometimes, I think many of us don't get into studying the Bible because we don't actually know how. We don't actually know what, how, where do I start? How do I do this? Okay, so this morning we're going to do Bible study 101. I'm going to give you list upon list upon list. This can be a list morning. And this is a bit of my normal way of going to be preaching, but I'm going to give you just lots of practical tips and you can then apply it. Our assumption during this series is an intimate daily connection with Jesus through his word and spirit will cause the rest of my life to be transformed in due time. I honestly believe that if you and I, each of us, would just spend quality time with God every day, in other words, we connect, we link up with God, our lives will be transformed. There might be 1,000 issues in your life. If God on a daily basis touches your heart and changes you on the inside, then your outside will start to be transformed. Okay, so that's our aim. We're trying to encourage you to get up on a cold East London morning around 6 or earlier. Get up, put on whatever you need to put on, slippers, have everything ready, go to your spot and meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is waiting for you. As Dion said, God is pursuing us. He's waiting for us. He's standing next to your bed every morning. If he would just wake up. If she would just wake up. God, you must see this. God is standing next to your bed every morning waiting for you. Wake up. Okay? And so here the prophet is standing, speaking on behalf of Almighty God and saying, he's waiting for you. Okay, so set your alarm clock and get up. Okay, so ingredients for link up. We covered some of this in the past 5 messages. Now, there's no specific order to this, and you don't need to apply all of this in a time, a personal devotional time, in a personal link up time. But the first thing is appointment. Schedule an appointment every day. Okay, for those who, some of us are more creative. I know there's lots of us who are not so appointment focused. But just do it. Just make some time somewhere. For me, it works to set my alarm clock a little bit early in the morning and have all my stuff ready, blanket, wherever, and I'm up and about. Second thing you need to know is you need to come boldly to God. You need to know that God has prepared everything for you. Doesn't matter how much you've sinned. Doesn't matter how badly you failed. It doesn't matter if you've not read your Bible for the last 20 years. It's okay. Just come. Just come. Don't try and sort out your life. Just come. Actively pursue God. And that's why I encourage you, do not lie in bed with a Bible in your one hand and try to stay awake. Okay? Get up. Actively pursue God. Okay. Then peace. Your first goal in spending time with God is not lots of information. It's not an intellectual exercise. It's not about just reading your thingy for the day. The first goal is you want to connect with God. The first goal is you want to find peace. You get up in the morning, and as Philippians 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then this beautiful bit, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What does it mean? When you get up in the morning and you spend quality time with God, there's a moment I experience in my quiet times. As I continue to spend time with God, there's this moment where I experience the peace of God, where I connect with God. And there's like something, there's a guard over my heart and my mind. This peace, the supernatural peace. Now I can step into my day and there can even be challenges, but because the peace of God is guarding my heart and my mind, I don't freak out. I'm connected still with God for the rest of the day because I established link up at the beginning of the day. Okay. So pursue peace. That's your first goal in link up. Fourth ingredient, spirit. You are not alone. Can you say that? I am not alone. You have the Holy Spirit. If you are a believer, you put your trust in Christ and you've welcomed the Holy Spirit into your life, you have a mentor, a teacher, a guide, someone coming alongside you who empowers you and leads you and opens the scriptures to you. You don't need to do a 4-year course somewhere. The Holy Spirit can reveal things to you that somebody with a 20-year degree never saw. Okay? The Holy Spirit illuminates. He comes alongside you. Fifth element or ingredient, prayer. As we spoke about, give your worries to Him. Commit your requests to Him. Hand it over. Surrender it to Him. And about prayer, I encourage you. Sometimes some of us struggle to like kneel next to the chair, the holy position of prayer. Okay? It doesn't work for everybody. Walk. I found that if you just walk somewhere, walk in the neighborhood, walk around the block, walk up and down where you don't get distracted, then you're busy. You talk to God. God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the dog. Lord, I thank you. You just pray. So sometimes you need to go for a walk if being in a little room locked up somewhere doesn't work for you. Okay, prayer. Sixth one, garment of praise. That's why I've got this nice jacket on today. Garment of praise. That's worship. Sometimes we struggle to connect with God. Sometimes we feel heavy. Sometimes it's not working. It's dead. What do you do? Put on a CD, a worship, praise and worship CD. And you must have listened to that CD that you can know the words. And then you worship God. You praise Him. You put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Really powerful. Okay? Seventh point is the word. Meditate on one or two scriptures every day. You don't need to have lots of scriptures, but just one or two, just to meditate upon that and speak that back to God. And so we're going to look at going deeper into the Word this morning. Okay, why are we doing this whole series? Because Christianity is made or broken with this. Are you connecting with God? That's it. You can come to 1,000 sermons. You can go sit through the band going on. You can go to Bible school. You can do 1,000 different things. If you are not connecting with God, the rest is sort of pointless. You need to connect. You need to get to a place of connection. Then you can be equipped, and then you can live life. Okay, so this is critical. If each of us would do this every day, we'll have a transformed church. And I believe community as well. If you really connect, it's amazing. Because there's an overflow. It's no longer you doing things in your own ability. It's God working through you. It's His Spirit working through you. Because you're connected. And so the river of life flows through you. Okay. When Christianity becomes tiring to you, it's because you're not linking up. When it becomes a burden, it's because you're not linking up. When you do things, you don't experience the presence of God, you're not linking, you're not connecting. And God has made everything available for you and I so we can come. We must just come. It's not hard. You don't have to have a degree. You can just come. And it will work, I promise you. God loves to spend time with us. Okay, so go for it. 2 Peter 1 verse 19. It says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed. I spoke about this last week. Which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The author there says, take heed of the word. He says prophetic word basically means the scriptures in that context. And he says take heed, which means to pay attention. Pay attention to the word of God, and what will happen is that the darkness in your mind or heart will be overwhelmed with the glorious light of God. The morning star will rise in your heart. Jesus will come and live on the inside of you when the word comes alive to you, when you take heed to the word, when you pay attention to the word. So the first part of your link up time is you aim for peace in whichever way, through prayer, worship, one or two scriptures, you just find peace. Now the second part, when you have found that peace, when you have connected with God, now you go deeper. Now you can start studying the scriptures. Now you can press into God's, into the fullness of God's word. So some might ask, why study? Why do you want to study the Word of God? Ever thought about that? Well, I said, one, the light will shine on your heart. That's one, yes. But it's the best to quote Super Sport. The more you know, the better it gets. Unless the Boca plays like yesterday. It doesn't get better. You don't want to know anything, okay? But the more you know, the better it gets. It truly is so. The more you know of God, the better it gets. Why study the Scriptures? Because the Scriptures all point to Jesus. Every verse in the Bible points to who God is. And there's all these treasures. And God's waiting for you and me to go and find, receive it, to delve into it. The more we know about God, the more we will fall in love with Him. The more we know of Him, the more we will love Him. That's what it's about. Love God. Love people. But first, love God. That's what it's about. That's what Christianity is about. But if you don't get into the Scriptures, you won't really know who He is. Okay, so I want to give you 10 Bible study tools. But you only really need to do first three. But the others are just for extra, for the really intense people. Okay. Bible study tool number one. This should be in your notes, I think. Some of it in there, some it's most of it's there. Get a journal or a notebook, something with which you can write, something that helps you to get to keep track of what is God speaking to you, what is He sharing with you. So you write it down, and the next day or next week you can look back and say, well, that's the scripture the Lord spoke to me about yesterday. You can memorize maybe some of it or study it. Then probably the best and most important tool you need to get is a study Bible. What's a study Bible? It's a Bible, but it's like different books all inside here. For it gives you commentary, it explains difficult verses, it gives you more about, say, what a specific word means, it gives you a concordance at the back, it gives you many different things that helps you. This is like a little library in one, a study Bible, okay? So I really encourage you to get one of these. It gives you introduction of a book, gives you the context of the specific book in the Bible. It is really good. Okay, this is about 300 Rand, the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. There are different types. The ESV study Bible, the English Standard Version study Bible is brilliant. It's a really excellent tool as well. And I don't know the Life Application study Bible, but I also think that's good. But I'd say Spirit-Filled Life and the ESV, probably my two best choices. Okay, and to get you really excited, we're going to hand out four of these. If you don't have a study Bible and you would like one, the ushers are going to hand out four of these now. We're going to hand out other Bibles as well. So please raise your hand if you would like one. Please raise your hand. Please raise your hand. And the ushers will hand out the Bible. That's about 300 Rand plus. We are blessing you with. So we want to encourage you. Okay, I'm going to hand out the others in a moment. Okay, that's it. I think it's over for the first batch. We're going to give you some others in a moment. Study Bible, really, really good. Okay, then the third study tool, Bible translations. What about these translations things? It's very confusing to some people. This is, say, the New King James. The original was the King James, 1610. There was the first version. There's an updated version of that. There are different types of translations. Some of them are literal, word for word, very faithful interpretations. It's word for word, a very good study Bible. Then you have, this is on the one side of the spectrum. Other side of the spectrum, we move. Then you have paraphrase. On this side of the spectrum, you have the Message Bible. Then you have the Amplified over here. Then you have the New Living Translation over here. And you go along NIV, ESV, New King James, along those, along that line. And I would encourage you, because it's amazing, especially if you read the literal translation, it doesn't always read so easily. It doesn't read so simply. And so sometimes it's very good to, you read it in your study Bible, and then you have another Bible, a cheap, inexpensive one, but another translation. And maybe a more paraphrased one. New Living Translation is an excellent one to have. So if I would choose, I would have a New King James and an ESV and an NLT, New Living Translation, English Translation, Standard Version, and the New King James Version. And that helps you to, if you read it in one or two different translations, it actually explains to you what this means. The New Living is a brilliant translation, but you should preferably study the Bible in a literal translation. Okay, so who wants a New Living Translation? New Testament, please raise your hand. Ushers. And then there's an NIV as well, Old and New Testament. NIV is also a good translation. A little bit more paraphrase, they say, than a literal. And you're not allowed to get two this morning. You may only get one Bible per person. Okay. There's a special on at Qum, 25% down on all Bibles or something like that. So just for 2 days, you must chase out here when we finish this morning. Okay, so you have your study Bible, and you focus there, and then you have your inexpensive other ones, just to give you another aspect or another angle on it. Okay, so they're your inexpensive copies. Your fifth Bible study tool, a Bible handbook, but you don't need to get this, but it's not critical. Gives you a bit of history, expands upon what the concepts are in the Bible. Number six, dictionary or thesaurus. It's amazing how powerful the scripture gets when you read there. It says election or elect. And you go to a thesaurus, which gives you synonyms, and you read other words that means the same. It brings it alive. It gives you a bit of depth and width on the topic. Okay, number seven, Bible software. This is for the engineers and the guys that enjoy going really wide and deep. Logos 4, brilliant Bible software. I use this. It starts around 1,200 rand for the entry level. It goes up to about 30,000 rand for about 10,000 books included into the software. Then you have the eSword, which is for free, but you have to pay for the known translation. So it's probably 200 rand per for the known translation. So you can go search it on the internet. Then there are online tools, biblia.com with different free things there, BibleGateway.com, also some online free study resources. Then another good thing to do, another Bible study tool, pens, markers, crayons, Zana, and some other creative people. Get some colors. Each color represents something different, and you mess in your Bible. Go wild. Make notes and get some music on. Get some coffee. Get your BlackBerry out. There are so many ways, but make it fun. It really can be exciting. And then the 10th Bible study tool, study space. Have an area in your house where you know your things are out. It's ready. All your tools for Bible study, it's there. And just makes it exciting because you can just storm in there and you can go for it. Okay, so there's Bible study tools. Now, Bible study tips. Another 10 Bible study tips. How should you do this? So you come to the Bible and how? Okay, this massive book. Now, how do I do this? Well, first get the overview and then you zoom in. Read a chapter or read a few chapters, give you overview, and then you zoom in to a few verses. So you get the overview, and then you go in to the details. Second study tip, less is more. What does that mean? Less time, less verses. That's how most of us do it. Less is more. No. Less verses, more time. Give the Holy Spirit the gift of time. In other words, put out 30 minutes, but only study 5 to 7 verses, or even just two. 2 to 5, 5 to 7 verses at a time, especially in some of the New Testament letters, which are, it's not like the narrative parts where you can just go for it. So you want to go for depth. Depth is the key. You want to zoom in there. I would say an ideal 1 hour time with God. 30 minutes of link up time, you pray, you focus on God, you maybe worship, you focus on finding peace. You find peace. You find that connection with God. Second 30 minutes, you take 7 verses and you just zoom into them. Just read those 7 verses and you see what is it saying. You ask the Holy Spirit to lead you of what does it mean. Okay, so that third gift or the third study tip is the gift of time. To fall in love with the Word, you need to give it time. As I said, give the Holy Spirit some time, the gift of time to work with it. I would say schedule it, plan for it. You would probably schedule it in your calendar if you were seeing Bruce Springsteen, for some of our older people maybe. Your hero from the 80s, I don't know. But if you were going to see the King, then you're probably going to put that into your diary. Meeting the King tomorrow morning at 6. So if you're going to meet with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, God who created heaven and earth, who wants to meet with you, why not schedule it, plan it, and put in your diary. I really believe there's enough time in the day for getting into the Word if you want to. If you wanted to, you can do it. Guaranteed. You get time for what you want to do. We all do. Just put it up on your priority list. So I want to encourage you to do this for 1 month. Develop the discipline of every day, just going through, say, 7 verses or less even. And just see how it changes your life. It really is powerful. Fourth study tip. It's personal. Can you say it's personal? It's personal. The Word of God is God's love letter for you. Do you know how some of us read it? We read it and think, but for Susan, she should be hearing this verse now. I so wish she would read this. It's for you. It's also easy to sit in church and say, this is for all the other people. No, it's for you first. So always say, it's for me. It's personal. This is for me. God is speaking to me. Fifth tip, go for depth, not amount. Don't try to be super spiritual. Some do this. Oh, I read through 20 chapters today. Yep. I am the man. No. It doesn't help you read so much, but you don't actually, you don't hide it in your heart. The scriptures say, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's what the psalmist says in Psalm 119. He's hidden the word of God in his heart. So you want depth. You want to go deeper, not necessarily just wider. Although for the overview, it's good to read wider. For the overview, it's good to read the whole book, but rather delve in there. So it's good to get a Bible reading plan. You say, I'm going to work through the whole Bible in the next year or the next 2 years. That's good, but not at the expense of depth. Number 6, think of Bible study as a conversation. The Word is speaking to you. Now speak back to it. How? Speak back to God. How? Through prayer. Brilliant way of reading the Bible. You read it and there's something that speaks to you. One verse in Revelations chapter 19 verse 6 that spoke to me this past few days. It just says, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Powerful verse. That's the key verse in the book of Revelation. Alleluia, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Within all the chaos, God still reigns. How do you handle that verse? You start off by praying it back to God. Say, God, I thank you. You reign. God, I thank you, omnipotent. You are powerful. God, I thank you that you are in control even when I don't feel everything is under control. You are God. And so you pray that verse back to God. And then you take out your journal and you write what you feel about that verse. You write it down. You say, God, you are this. God, I thank you. This. God, I bless you for that. So think of it as a conversation and come to the Bible with questions. Maybe you're battling with something. Say stress, worry, work. Maybe somebody difficult at work. God, how should I handle this? So you come to the scripture with a question. You continue reading according to whatever plan you've had, and then you come with a question. God, speak to me. At some point, He will highlight something out of the Word, and speak to you. Do not try Bible roulette. Do you know how that works? Oh God, is he or is he not my husband? So all the children of Israel came out from Dan to Beersheba, as well as from the land of Gilead. Thank you, Lord. It sounds like a wedding. And the congregation gathered together as one man before the Lord. Yes, it is confirmed. That worked well. If his name is Dan, then it's a total definite yes. Two confirmations in one scripture. Do not do that, okay? That is really dangerous. It's like Russian roulette, okay? Don't do that. You kill yourself. Okay, so it's a conversation. Come with questions to the scriptures. Seek answers. And if you value it, write it down. Write it down, write it down, write it down. Okay, number 7, where to start. If you don't know where to start, we preach on Sundays certain scriptures. Take those scriptures, go read before and after, and study that. That's a good place to start. Another place to start, the Gospels, because it's just about Jesus. Good place to start, easy, relatively easy to read. Some say start at Genesis, and that's fine until you get to middle of Exodus. And is it not? Okay, that really, what? This furniture stuff. Now, if you're not a lover of furniture, you're going to die middle of Exodus, okay? So then just skip to the New Testament or the Psalms or whatever. Every verse is important. Every verse can speak to you. And slow and steady wins the race, not huge amounts. Slow and steady, every day a little bit, every day a little bit, every day a little bit. Just be disciplined. You don't need to do 10 hours every day. You can do 30 minutes every day. 8th tip, relevant study. As I said earlier, if there's something that you're battling with, we learn easier when we find it is relevant. But if you go to Leviticus and you find all these animals being slaughtered, and you just think, oh, this has got nothing to do with my life, you know, then rather than go there, go to the Psalms. Psalms often speak about, you know, the battles, we have emotional struggles, the things David went through, the darkness, etc. There are lots of things relevant, but also you need to read wider. You can't just read what you want in the sense of what's convenient to you. Number 9, books are no substitution, even if it's written by a Christian author. I know this is an easy cop-out. We don't read our Bible, so we read about what somebody else has read in the Bible. You need to get in for yourself. Reading another book, even a Christian book, does not substitute for reading the scriptures. You need to get into the Word. Okay, you need to get into the scriptures. And then the 10th tip, get an encouragement partner. You need one for Bible study. You need to have one, and somebody that's going to ask you, hey, did you read your Bible this week? What did you learn about God? If you know you're going to get a question, you're probably going to put some effort into it. Okay, so that's a good one as well. Okay, then, studying a section of scripture. Okay, now we're going to go a little bit deeper. And I'm going to end off with that. We're not going to be long. Just three things. I'm going to give you 7, but the first one or two really helps. So when you have your 7 verses, read for a theme in those 7 verses and write down a title for the day. Say for my verse in Revelation 19, you would just say, God reigns. That's my title for my journal entry of the day. You don't have to say, dear journal, I am speaking to you. No, you can just write. Those who want to go all the way can go all the way, but you don't have to. So then establish the main idea. And this is if you forget all the other things, this is a good thing to remember. Just get the main idea. You read 7 verses or you read 10 verses or whatever, then just ask you, what is the one thing that is important? What is the one thing that stands out? What is the main theme, the main idea? God, what is it? I would just say, God reigns. And I take that with me for the day. God reigns. I take that with me for the day. Okay, so one or two questions, establish the main idea. What is the big picture? What is God trying to say to you? And the second one, what will your life look like if you do this or don't do it? In your notes, I gave you more of those questions. Okay, so you have the main idea. Then secondly, extend the theme. Ask these questions, for instance. How is this truth manifested in today's churches, families, believers, world work? So you ask yourself, okay, this truth, how can I now apply it to life? How does this fit into life and where I am living life? So that's a good question to ask. And then another good question, what does this passage tell you about God? So you read and you ask, what does it say about God? Is he a comforter? Is he a healer? Is he a teacher? Revelation 19 verse 6 would say, he is king, king of kings. He is glorious. Okay, so you write down, what does this say about God? And then a third area where you can look at, explore the personal connection. Did this passage raise a question for you? You can write down, oh, I wonder about this. Where did this wife come from? Those type of things. Cain and Abel, where did the wife come from or whatever? Did this passage stir up conviction in your heart? What do you feel strongly about here? And what will these verses prompt you to do this week? So what is my application? If this is so, if God reigns, how will I live differently this week? How will I apply this verse this week? Well, obviously, if God is in control and he is awesome, powerful, and in control, why am I worried? Duh. Why am I stressed? That's silly. He loves me. He is for me. He is with me. He reigns over all the chaos of the world. End of journal entry. Yeah? That was like a little journal entry. That's what you should do. Just write down your thoughts. Fourth way of studying a section of scripture, different Bible versions, read it in another translation, especially like Ephesians 1. If you read it in a literal translation, New King James, ESV, it's like, whoa, 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 I don't know where we're going. There's just lots of scriptures. Now, if you open that in the New Living Translation, they sort of break it up for you. Much simpler, easier to understand. Fifth way of studying a section of scripture, the cross-reference column. You see, this morning is all about working myself out of a job, okay? You are now all pastors. This beautiful little column here in the middle of the Bible, it's a cross-reference column. So for instance, can you open your Bibles at 1 Peter? 1 Peter, that's at the end of the Bible. 1 Peter. Last night, just before I went to bed, I just opened 1 Peter because I want to encourage you to, for the next month or so, just work, say, on 1 Peter or, say, the book of James, for instance. Quite relatively easy books to start with. And so I read there in the second verse, well, let me read the first verse. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in all these different areas, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, you don't know where on the earth is that. And then in your wonderful Bible study Bible, you have a map. Whoa! And you thought the pastor is amazing because he knew where that was. It's just in my Bible. Okay. So you just go, you see, okay, that's like modern Turkey. That's over there. Gives you sort of an idea. Then you read the next verse. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And you're thinking, huh? What does that mean? Now, as I was just reading that last night, a few things just popped up for me. I had the word elect. What's another word for elect? Chosen. That stood out for me. Chosen. So I wrote down chosen. And then it says, in sanctification of the Spirit. That means of cleansing. So the second word that came up for me was cleansing. First was chosen. Second one, cleansed. He cleanses me. And then We go further, it speaks about for obedience. So God has chosen us and he has cleansed us. Why? For obedience. Another word would be for a commissioning, for a mission, for a purpose, for a reason for living, for significance. So God has chosen me, he has cleansed me, and he's commissioned me. And on under each of those words, you can write in your journal, but this is what it means to be chosen, cleansed. Not by my works, but his works. It says his blood has cleansed me. And a commissioning. End of journal entry. It's that simple. And so you just sit on that verse, and that's just one verse. And you can break it down. And now if I had to give a theme or give a summary, I would just give it one word. I'd say, chosen. I am chosen by God. How does it make you feel? Special. Chosen. It's beautiful. This book is alive. It's powerful. And then I wanted to show you H. And then as you read that verse, now you can get to the middle column and you can look in the side. It says 2, which means verse 2, and then it gives you A, B, C, D, E. That one verse is broken down into 5 parts, and it says you that little bit of truth. You can go read more about that in that verse. Ephesians 1, verse 4 speaks more about being elect. Romans 8, verse 29 speaks more about the foreknowledge of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 speaks more about being sanctified by the Spirit. Romans 1, verse 5 says more about obedience, and Hebrews 10, 22 says more about sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, you shouldn't take those, it's like a rabbit hole sometimes. You know, you can get lost in your Bible study. So you should not follow all links to some way. You should stay in your 1 or 2 verses or 7 verses, and then just sometimes, if something highlights, you just go and read a little bit more about it. Hey, Bible study 101. So the Bible versions, I said, number 5, cross-reference column. Number 6, dictionary, thesaurus, say you take the word elect and you just go look at what does the word elect means, different types of election. And then last one, topical study. At the back of your study Bible, there's something called a concordance. And it gives you different references in the Bible about a specific topic. For instance, you have an anger problem and you want to just study a little bit about anger. And so you go to A in the concordance and you see that there's about 20 plus verses mentioned where it says something about anger. Cursed be their anger. Son that the fierce anger. Fierceness of his anger. So you can go to study the Bible. Topical Bible study. And that was the 7 ways of studying a section of scripture. Okay, I'm going to finish now. Worship team. So I want to put this challenge out to you. I know this might seem a little bit overwhelming, especially if you have not been to the previous messages. But this is for going deeper. So you don't have to do it. It's not a must. And you can keep it simple. You don't have to get all the tools. You don't have to do all the different ways. You can just read 7 verses and ask yourself, what is God speaking to me? And just write that down. So my challenge to you is for the next 30 days to take 1 Peter or the book of James and just take 7 verses every day and just write down what stands out for you. What is God speaking to you? What is the one word or one concept you're going to carry with you for the rest of the day? My one for the day is chosen. Chosen. God has chosen me and God has chosen you. It is very special to get into the Word of God and to realize who He is. Okay. And we can really pray that God will help us and lead us. The Holy Spirit will come alongside you to help you. So I want to encourage you, just give it a shot. Give it a go. Shock the devil. I'm going to read my 7 verses today. Come on, you can do it. So you can go read either 1 Peter or James or wherever else you want to start. But I want to encourage you, if you don't have a link-up time, if you don't have a quiet time every morning or some time in the day, make it a priority. Make a way. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this gift called the Word of God. Thank you, God, that we can have this in our own language. Thank you, God, that we can even have different translations and so many helps. But we thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit that is our ultimate help and guide on this path. And so, Lord, I pray for your people. I pray for us as a church, Lord, that we will realize how you are pursuing us and that you are standing next to our beds every morning, every day, and you're saying, come on, let's spend time. Come and realize how awesome God is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can fall in love with the Word. But more than that, fall in love with the living Word, Jesus Christ. And so we pray for that, God Almighty. A hunger and a thirst for your Word. A hunger and a thirst to know God Almighty. Just as our eyes are closed, I just want to encourage each of us, wherever you might be in your relationship with God, it all just starts by surrendering. It all just starts by saying, God, I give you my life. I need you. It starts with saying, God, I'm just messing up my life. But with you and only you can this turn around. And so I want to encourage you, wherever you might find yourself, to just bow the knee before God and to say, Lord, I surrender. It brings freedom. It brings liberty. It brings life. And so if that is you, I want to encourage you just today, get some time alone somewhere. And then you just speak to God as you speak to a person and you say, God, here I am. I surrender my life to you. Okay, I want to encourage you to do that. If you can, pray with another believer, but just surrender to the Lord.